Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The game has no chance of being restored to where they want it to go until 2023. Be realistic, rebuild it, and they won't do it. And if they end up not playing the rest of this year, this is not 94-95. Cal Ripken ain't walking back through that door again. It's to a sport that is declining in a lot of ways, unfortunately, not in my mind, but in a lot of ways. I mean, they have a chance to do what could be irreparable damage.
Peter Gammons this morning on the Molly and Haas Show, Sports Radio 670 The Score. This is Joe Ostrowski. Let's check in with Dane Perry from CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter by his name, and he joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Dane, how you hanging in there, man?
I'm doing all right, man. How about yourself?
Doing just fine. I see that you're a Chicago Bulls rooter, according to your Twitter bio. We'll get to that coming up in just a moment. the clip that you just heard from Peter Gammons there, do you agree with what Gammons was saying?
Yeah, I do think there will be significant damage done if they don't reach an agreement and they don't, and they have a window to play and they don't take advantage of it. That said, I think it's far from panic time. I mean, they've still got, I think, a window of 7 to 10 days to get something done. Negotiations are ongoing. You're already seeing, like, you know, increasingly desperate leaks from the part of ownership. So I think that's some indication that talks are moving forward. So, you know, I don't think it's panic time yet by any means. So I think some of this doomsaying is a little premature. But yeah, if things do fall apart, then yeah, it's bad for baseball.
Your article up on CBSSports.com, 5 reasons why MLB players are objecting to owners' 50-50 revenue split for the 2020 season. What's the biggest issue right now?
I think the biggest issue is that they've never split revenue before, unlike, say, some of the other capped leagues. And this is sort of an entree to a cap situation. It would serve as a de facto cap, hard cap in baseball. They don't want to do that. I think the other issue is that, you know, owners during these boom years that they've had recently, just a wildly profitable industry over the last several years until 2020, they're not sharing their excess profits with the players over and above their guaranteed contracts. Mm-hmm. So now all of a sudden that times are lean, they do want to share in the revenues and that kind of thing. So I think there's some inconsistency there. Maybe there's a road forward with saying, you know, okay, we also agree to share some revenues when times are better and not just stick the down here on you. But, you know, everything's a negotiation at this point. But I think those are probably the biggest issues for the players.
Which side has more leverage?
I think the owners at this point. I think, you know, I think they can fracture the union to an extent because a lot of the younger players need to play. You know, they don't have that life-changing money yet. And they want to get out there and play and make something of a paycheck this season. Whereas, you know, your older guys who have, you know, gotten that money, like your Kershaws and your Trouts and that kind of thing, they're obviously not desperate to play. They, you know, they could never do a thing again the rest of their lives and be fine. And the owners, I think, also realize that, you know, the public is largely going to blame the players regardless of the reality of the situation. And that the players used to ignore that in their negotiations back in the Marvin Miller and Don Fear days. But I think in the internet age and social media and that sort of thing, that's a little more difficult to do. It's, you know, you can sustain a hit more than you could in the days before the internet and that sort of thing. So I think that matters more now. And the owners realize that they'll win the public relations battle almost no matter what they do.
I guess it's because we know the salaries, but I'll still never understand that, Dane. You're going to blame the millionaires instead of the billionaires.
Right. Who half of them just inherited their money as opposed to the players who earned it, you know. So, yeah, I don't get the inconsistency, but it's there.
Do you think most players feel similarly to Blake Snell?
I think so, probably. I think they're probably under the impression that once they agreed to prorate their salaries downward based on the length of the season, that settled the matter, you know, regardless of what was in the fine print of the agreement. I'm not sure of those particulars as well, but I think they probably thought that was a settled matter. And I imagine there's some frustration now that the issue is being revisited. You know, you heard Bryce Harper kind of voice some support for Snell's perspective. I would think that's probably the consensus, but they understand that, you know, again, everything's a negotiation, so they may have to come off that position a bit if they're going to get a season going.
Yeah, and I hope we're saying, well, how are they going to stop spitting like Gabe Kapler was the other day? That means we're getting closer and closer to baseball. A lot of people have said, hey, use this to try different crap out, and I'm all for that. If you want to try stuff, I don't think there's going to be much backlash at all. People just happy to have sports. Is there anything you would try or you think they might try that we haven't heard about?
I think the biggest trial balloons are probably the universal DH and the expanded playoffs. Maybe you'll see some additional automation of umpiring duties. Now, I'm not certain about that. That would probably be a heavy lift to get that up and running in time. But, if there's a lack of outrage, if you will, for the universal DH and the expanded playoffs, and I think obviously the DH is the more controversial issue, then I think you'll probably see some momentum moving toward making that a permanent situation. Because, you know, we're running into this next CBA negotiation coming up, so that, you know, a lot, there's going to be a lot of carryover here. This is, you know, these are going to be in essence trial balloons for the next negotiation. I think those are two realistic possibilities moving forward.
I was thinking about the White Sox. Let's say we're able to work this out and they have that truncated season, 75, 80 games, whatever it is. I don't think this is a good thing for the Sox and the development. Like, I was thinking about teams it might hurt, and it seems to me teams built around their starting pitching, they may not have that advantage because maybe pitchers are going to go 4, 5, 6 innings instead of some of your horses going 7 or 8 innings. And young guys that really need experience, teams that are in that mode, just trying to get time for players to move the development along, I think it kind of hurts those teams.
Yeah, the White Sox are certainly one of those teams that has to have that consideration. And, you know, if we end up with a large number of doubleheaders to try to cram in as many games as possible, you could see teams having to operate with, you know, in essence, 6 or 7-man rotations, depending on how the schedule plays out. So, yeah, that's a consideration. I mean, on the other hand, if you're not a playoff favorite, I don't think the White Sox are. I think they're a much improved team, obviously. But, you know, if you're not a playoff favorite, then you kind of have to like the idea of having, in essence, half of a season because you can get a lot more flukish outcomes that way. And if the White Sox have what would have been just a hot first half, maybe they're in really strong position headed into the expanded postseason. So I think if you're not an on-paper favorite, those other considerations aside, maybe you have to like the smaller sample size that will be going on this season.
Joe Ostrowski with Dane Perry, CBSSports.com, right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Dane, Chicago Bulls rooter, was that there 5 weeks ago? Because all of a sudden, it's kind of cool to be a Bulls fan again.
This was absolutely pre-Last Dance. I've been a Locked On Bulls listener for quite a while, actually.
So, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, I was actually my Bulls fandom dates back to the 90s when I lived in Mississippi. I was absolutely a bandwagon fan then, but I think I've earned my status by this point. So, I'm excited about the front office changes and, just ready to see where things go and that kind of thing. So, yeah, my enthusiasm is back after a long absence.
So you listen to Jordan Malley and Matt Peck's Locked On Bulls podcast?
I do. I do.
Maybe, did you listen back when our guy Cody Westerlin was doing it? That was a while back.
Yeah, that may have predated me. Yeah.
Okay.
As a podcast listener. I'm kind of old, so I'm late to catch on the podcast.
What was your favorite part of The Last Dance?
I really love that Knicks rivalry. That had a lot. I mean, I grew up in Mississippi and I was down there at the time, and that rivalry just had national appeal. I mean, that was a big deal down there. Even show sites, you know, way down there in Mississippi. So I really, those were just so tense, and I absolutely hated the Knicks back in those days. And that was just, you know, for me, it was like a good versus evil kind of thing. Just sort of this, the Bulls were just aesthetically pleasing to watch with Jordan and Pippen, and the, you know, the Knicks were just this trash, slow down, foul, you know, type of team. And I just couldn't stand watching them. So that was, revisiting that was a lot of fun for me.
See, this is something that I've actually learned over the last month. I thought that universally all Bulls fans hated the Pistons much more than any other team. And once you're able to slay that dragon, how great that was. But I've learned over the last month, there are a lot of people like you that hated the Knicks more than the Pistons.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's because I didn't grow up here. I mean, maybe if you were here and there's that proximity to Detroit and that kind of played into it, I don't know. But just being a remote Bulls fan, if you will, I definitely hated the Knicks more. I guess maybe the Chicago-New York thing played into that, and just the prominence of the Knicks and, you know, the Pat Riley's fame. But I really was way more locked into the Knicks-Bulls rivalry than I was Bulls-Pistons for whatever reason.
Were you mad at Reinsdorf at the end?
Yeah, I mean, you have to give a championship roster a chance to defend its title. You don't break up a team coming off a championship. I think that's shooting dirty pool. I think that's not what sports are meant to be, particularly from the ownership standpoint. You know, I don't really care what your GM wants to do. I don't really care about the rest. You keep that roster together until they prove they're not champions. So, yeah, I do have some bitter taste toward Reinsdorf for that.
Yeah, White Sox fans nodding their head. That's Jerry's playbook. He's going to side with the front office. Forget the manager. Forget the head coach. Forget the star player. It's about Kenny, and it was about Jerry Krause then. Ridiculous.
Yeah. But
I know. Didn't mean
that was definitely. I mean, the whole time you're watching the documentary, I know how this ends, and you know it still ticks me off. Yeah.
Yeah, but we had a nice run. It was a good time.
No question about it. No question about it. Yeah.
Dane, appreciate your time. Hopefully, we're talking about some actual baseball being played sometime soon.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Dane Perry, check out his column, CBSSports.com. Does a great job covering the game. And follow him on Twitter, @Dane.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.